This brew has been brought to you by our proud partners at Dealership Toolkit and Think Ad Group. Pour some of what they got inside of your cup and watch them perk your business up. Let's brew.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, folks.
Good morning, everybody. This is Lou Ramirez, the car guy.
This is Fred Lenarts, the subprime hero.
And you are Brewing Solutions on the Car Guy Coffee Podcast. We are excited to have an incredible car guy inside of the cafe, Brewing Solutions with you. And you got to make sure that some of the best get in here with you to do that. So do us a favor.
Yes.
Tag a car guy.
Do it.
Tag a car guy.
Do it.
Share.
Don't be scared. Hey, if you care, share. That's what we do. I'm going to make sure you guys get a great show today. We have it set up. Tracy Myers, folks. Frank Meyer, Auto Center. Folks, you guys don't understand. We got a wrestler promoter. We got an Emmy Award winning. Oh, are you kidding me? This is going to be a lot of fun. He has a great credential, but the biggest thing is he's a great person. And that's what we're all about. We're trying to bring great people onto our show to talk about their lives, to bring out the best in all of us. Let's keep growing.
Let's go. Everybody, get your friends in here.
Get them.
Bring a cup of coffee with you, and let's have a great cup of coffee and a conversation. Let's brew. We got a whole lot to say, but we got a whole lot of fun that we got to get to. So do us a quick favor and make sure that you are ready. You're tuned in to get a great conversation, a good cup of coffee, and be Brewing Solutions. Man, Fred, I'm pumped up. I know how pumped up you are.
You know I am, man. This is a guest that I'm super excited about. You know, when I reached out to him, he was so gracious. He said, yeah, man, let's do it. And I'm so pumped up. I didn't realize it was going to be that easy, or I would have asked him like a year ago.
Right.
But no, he's the kind of guy that has that type of heart. When he sees something that he has an opportunity to help somebody, he's going to do it. So I'm so excited to have Tracy Meyer here this morning, folks. Hope you guys are too. Be ready for this five-liner. We're going to have a lot of fun. Man,
we got, I mean, I feel like we really need to build this up. I mean,
build it up. I know how you do.
Because this is a wrestling promoter. You understand when somebody comes through inside of a wrestling stadium, when there's all of these fans all over the place. My favorite was the Ultimate Warrior. I don't know who yours was.
I love some Ultimate Warrior.
If you guys are watching right now, all you car guys and car gals, if you loved wrestling as a kid or still do, who's your favorite wrestler? Go ahead and drop them inside of the comments. But seriously, this guy knows how to put it on. I feel like, I don't know if we should play I Am a Real American. Get that Hulk Hogan going.
Dude, why not, bro? If you got it, put it on. Understand that we do not own the rights to that music.
We do not own the rights to any of those that are in this cafe right now, except just our tunes. But there are so many great wrestlers that have been out there. But, I mean, there's so many great car guys, too. And so many of them have their own character.
So I like to look at myself as a car guy or car gal promoter, right? We like to sit here and pump up our guests. We like to get them ready for the ring and get out there pumping up the thing, get it going, doing what they're supposed to do. But man, I tell you, this morning is going to be a lot of fun. Tracy's all the way out in North Carolina, right outside Fayetteville. Great, great dealer, great, great person. But it's just more, he's more than a dealer, folks. You know, we all know dealers. We've met dealers. We've met dealers who are very uninvolved. They kind of just, they're the name of the dealership. They don't really have a process. They hire people and they have them do everything. Well, here's the difference. Tracy does a lot more than that. Tracy, not only does he get involved, but he's also about his culture. He's about his family tradition. He's about making sure that the culture gets pushed out through his whole dealership. He's also talking about bringing it through the world. He's put some stuff out there, folks. That's amazing. There's that music going right there. So I'm excited. He's an author. He's everything. He's put out some shows. I mean, folks, Emmy Award winning. Come on now. How many of us can say that we know anybody that's won an Emmy Award?
Seriously.
I know somebody. He's on my show right now.
Come on. Speaking of coming on the show right now, here he is, car guys and car gals and all you solutionaries out there. Welcome to the cafe, Tracy Meyer.
Good morning. What's going on, guys?
Oh, dude, living the dream, man. So excited to have you here this morning. We appreciate you. I know you're a busy man, so time is money and money is time. But, right, man, we're going to have some fun this morning. I think you're going to enjoy yourself. But most importantly, everybody out there is going to get an opportunity to hear what you're all about and hear how you got to where you're at today, because I know you have a great story. I've read a little bit about it, and, man, the story's wonderful. He has a great tradition of a lot of folks. I don't want to give away. I want him to answer this. So I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm not going to spill too many beans.
That being said, before we go too much further, folks, I want to throw a quick shout out to a good friend of mine. He's drinking one of the cups that he sent us. Michael Landis, all the way out in California.
Michael!
He's with Inkcentric, folks. Inkcentric is a great company out there. They do a lot, a little bit everything. He's got that cup. He's got this. They got that. They do anything that you can imagine that you need printed or made, banners, whatever. They did. Look at this. How cool. That's, it says Fred on that Car Guy Coffee logo. I don't know if you guys see that, but he made that personally for one for me and one for Lou. Thanks. Man, that's so nice of him. He sent us this out, a sweet swag pack. He's got a lot of samples. Reach out to him, L-A-N-D-I-S, Michael Landis, Inkcentric, I-N-K-C-E-N-T-R-I-C. Folks, so good. Amazing people, great people, real people. That's what it's all about. So let's get this thing going, man. How are you this morning, Tracy?
And I'm pumped up, ready to go, like always. How about you guys?
Exactly.
I've been watching yet.
Yeah, we're pretty – we kind of caffeinate ourselves before we get going, so yeah, we're pumped up.
I got you.
Yeah. not too deep into the cup yet.
This is that Car Guy Coffee.
That's right. But one thing that we do to make sure that we stay pumped up and we keep growing to apply 3Fs before we get into any sort of a session with Solutionaries. And that's to make sure that we together forgive, focus, and fly so that we can keep growing. And it does come with a few movements. So, I mean, again, I can't think of a wrestler's moves that they actually would do before they would do their move. But this is kind of our move. We got there. Oh, woo! Check that out.
That's right. The nature
of it. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I just saw it on my shoulder. Yeah.
He's a classic. Awesome. That is ultimate OG wrestler right there. I love him so much. That's awesome.
Woo! Woo! But this is our woo right here. This is the forget, focus, fly mantra.
That's right.
We're going to wipe off the weight of unforgiveness. We're going to focus, and then we're going to fly so that we can keep growing. So, Tracy, help us out real quick. Cross the arms one time. Let us forgive, focus, and fly together. One, two, three. Wipe it. Forgive.
Focus. Fly. And keep growing. Keep growing. Keep growing. Yeah. That's right. Thank you. Now you are part of the Car Guy Coffee Club. So we appreciate you for joining it. You were initiated. That is the official secret handshake right there. So let's get this thing going. Man, so we have this thing called the five-liner. And for all our guests out there that watch the show, they know what that's about. The five-liner is five questions we love to ask our guests to be able to get to know how they got from where they were years ago to where they're at today and what motivates them. So my number one question for you today is my favorite question out of all the questions. What is your why? What is your purpose? What gets you motivated every single day to be Tracy Myers?
Yeah, man, great question. And first of all, thanks for having me here. It's awesome, especially well, it's not early in the morning for me, man. I wake up at 5:30. But you know, look, without the generic answer of family, which I mean, it is family, but it's more than my immediate family, which is my wife and two kids. It's about my great grandfather who started the first Frank Myers store 103 years ago this year. So it's legacy for me. It's all about legacy.
Come on. Come on.
Man, legacy is a big deal. We absolutely love that because legacy is right up our alley. We're all about leaving a legacy of growth for people. Yes. You know, it's not just for your family, but it's through people you touch. Every one of your employees, your friends. I mean, it doesn't matter. You always want to leave something for them that you can pass on, whether it's your energy, it's your mind, it's your business, it's your whatever it is. Want to leave that legacy, and you're doing it really well, my friend. You've left a legacy that's going to be going on for generations and generations.
But you know, I tell my team members all the time, I hate to see them go, but if I don't do my job as a leader and I don't develop them to where they can grow and go, then I've not done my job. So, man, it's tough to see them leave, but you know, there are bigger things in the world than staying here, and I love to have them here forever. We got to have them grow so they can go.
And I love that. And that's great that you have that type of heart and mentality, because a lot of times when somebody leaves for – now, don't get me wrong. Lateral moves are not what we want to see people
correct,
do.
Right,
you should
right.
never make a lateral move. When I see somebody leave me for a lateral position, I'm like, what are you thinking? You know, but who knows, right? But that being said, when they're going up, like people – we look at you, somebody like Tracy who owns this, he owns his own store. He's doing his thing. He's done a multitude of things. But eventually you want your people to be you one day. You want your people to – grow, not necessarily exactly you, but to have that opportunity to be an owner one day, maybe be to run their own store, do all those things. And obviously you own your store, so they can't own it. So what they got to do, they have to go reach out and start growing other places. But that's what part of that legacy is. You left that legacy. It's what's beautiful is I can tell you almost 20 years. I know you've been doing it your whole life, but 20 years for us in the business, each one of us, we're close to 20 now. So almost 40 years combined, we have seen people that work for us, we trained up, and we've seen them move on. And we've seen them do amazing stuff. I've seen managers, and I've had managers who would just talk crap about that person when they left, right?
Right.
I'm the opposite. I'm excited. I want to call them and ask them how they're doing. Is there anything I could ever do to help you? You let me know. You know, if there's something that you can, that you need help with in that department, or something that you need some advice on, I'm here for you. And that's what that whole thing is about. It's no hate. It's all love. I believe there's competition, but I think it's friendly competition, and it's a good thing to have. You know, I don't think competition is a bad thing, because that's what keeps us accountable, what keeps us moving forward.
Keeps us growing.
Keeps us growing, yeah. So, man, great answer on that. I love that you're leaving a legacy, and that's what you're focusing on. Because that is family. Family is legacy. They're also your legacy. Right. So many things. So you can tie that into a multitude of stuff. So I absolutely think that's great.
Well, there's the idea of you laying the seeds for a tree that you'll never get the chance to enjoy the shade of.
Boom.
Right? And you do that with your business. You do that first and foremost with your family, with your actual seeds, with what is the good fruit of you. So the word says that we're not to judge a man lest we be judged, but if you are to judge one, you judge them by their fruit.
Right.
So the way that I tell that it's an apple tree is I test the seed or the fruit from the apple, from the actual tree, right? I taste the apple. That's how I identify that. When you have good fruit, it bears good seed. And the important thing is not to hoard that seed, not to just be the only one growing. It's to pour out and to allow that to spread. So what's locked up inside of one piece of fruit is many, many generations worth of seeds. And that's what's inside of our business. We need to remember that as people do grow and we go out, car guys, car gals, people that are developing people on the showroom floor, whether you're a leader on the floor, make sure that you are giving time to make sure that something that you've learned that is of great value for you, that's made you successful, something you pass to somebody else to say, here, use this tool. Use this too, because too many times in this business, we pass around some bad habits, and it's important that we do sow seeds that you do see good fruit from. But we honor you for being the man that you are that's leaving that legacy, and you can tell that it's an intentional thing. It's the very first thing you point to, right?
Right.
You know, so that's very, very important, a lot to take from that. I want to kind of shift real quick on the car guy side to make sure that we do understand what really was the path that got you into the automotive industry. If it was legacy, how did all of that tie together to get you where it is that you are today?
Yeah, so it's a strange story, but it's one I've told several times. But my dad actually never pushed me to get into the business. And I think that was very important for me because we see PhD guys and girls all the time. Pop had a dealership, right? And a lot of times they fail miserably because they felt like they were obligated to get into the business. And it wasn't their passion, wasn't their desire. Because I think deep down we all want to make our parents proud of us. So we choose the path that they want, that they've chosen for us. He never chose that path for me. He never pushed me into it. He never even asked me if that's what I wanted to do. As a matter of fact, when I was a teenager, I said, man, that's not what I want to do, because I saw how often he was away from us as a family. And subconsciously I made that connection that, you know, what he did for a living took him away from his family. So I didn't want to do that. So I went to school to do something entirely different, moved out of state. And I worked a couple retail jobs at the mall, and being a single 18-year-old kid, I couldn't make the money that I wanted to make, working retail. So I opened the paper, which, for those younger folks, that's what we used to do to look for a job. We opened the help wanted section, and the big ad that car dealers ran at the time was make up to $35,000 a year. The number's arbitrary, but it's more than I was making. Selling cars, no experience necessary. So I walked into a Toyota store in Atlanta.
Yep.
They hired me in about 7 seconds. And I told them I was still in school. They asked me what my schedule was. I said to go to school from 8 to 1. And they said, well, you can work the 3 to midnight shift. So I worked 3 to midnight. And even though that's not what I wanted to do, I knew I could do it because my family did it, right? That's just the connection I made in my brand. Yeah. And, of course, you get that first commission check. And I quit school 2 weeks later. Right? It's like, oh, man, what? I'm in school for what reason? So the fun part of the story is ironic part of the story, rather, is that I sold cars here for a year. I didn't tell my parents I quit school, and I don't know how I thought that they wouldn't find out that I wasn't in school, right? They were paying for it. I didn't think my dad would find out that I was selling cars at another dealership because I was pretty sure he would absolutely kill me, right? But after about a year and a half, I was selling 35 cars a month. I said, you know what? I think it's time to go home. I accepted that this is my legacy. This is what I was destined to do. And I came home and I told my dad, I said, hey, here's what I've been doing. He said, yeah, I know. I've known this for over a year. you know, and I didn't even question at the time how he knew, right? We reflect back. I reflect back on those things. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see totally now. But I said, do you have a spot for me? He said, yeah, yeah, I got a spot for you. So I came in on, that was a Friday. I came in on a Monday, shirt and tie. He said, you're a little overdressed. I'm like, overdressed for what, man? I'm selling cars. He said, you're not selling cars. You're going to the detail shop. I'm like, dude, what the heck are you talking about? The detail shop. I've been making like, you know, I'm making $100,000 a year. I'm not going to the detail shop making minimum wage. He said, well, you will if you want a job with the family business. So I actually stayed in the detail shop for almost 2 years. Wow. It was, I hated it at the time, and I hated my father at the time, right? I hate strong word, but you get the center, right? I was very unhappy with my father at the time. Yes. Looking back, that was the best thing he could have done for me. And afterwards, right. I said, man, why don't you have me in the detail shop for 2 years? He said, because if I don't start you at the bottom as my son, people will never respect you as you work your way up. So this is the greatest lesson I learned. So, man, I fell in love with the business, you know, and I've done every position in the store. Some of them fantastic, some of them not so well. My ADD kicks in, so I'm not that great with finance because you got to sit there too long. And, you know, I can do it, but, man, I got to get up. I'm bouncing in this chair because I'm like, you know, I got to go. But I've done every position, and I worked my way up, and I bought the store. It wasn't given to me. And in 06, yeah. My dad came to me, 05 rather. He said, you know, I think it's time for you. I said, time to what? He said, well, I think it's time that you bought the store. And we had never had a discussion about it. I said, you think I'm ready? He said, you're past ready, man. You've been running it. You know, I'm basically, a, you know, not a silent owner, but he wasn't present, right? I was around the store for 3 years at that point. And here all the time and working 18-hour days and the whole deal. So I bought it. It wasn't given to me. So I respect it that way. I appreciate it that way. We've done everything from traditional retail. We've had new car stores, buy here, pay here, and my heart is subprime. So, man, I love subprime business, special finance, and that customer because I like to see them. My dad always called it down the road motors. So I call it down the road motors. It's like, here's where they are. Here's where we help them get, right? If they do their part, right? We watch them grow. I love that, man. Yeah.
I love it too. I don't know if you caught my nickname, Subprime Hero. I'm absolutely passionate about Subprime.
Love it. I love it so much, man.
I'm more passionate about my clients. It's the like you said, down the road, how the path that you could teach them and how they could become one day. You know, and that's the thing. Like a lot of people, they come to you and they're scared. They've already been rejected. They've been treated wrong. They've been told no. They've been told yes, and then got the car taken back from them. You know, they've had so many things that have happened to them that they hate car dealers. They're like, they keep telling me
they're so angry, man. They're so angry. They're angry about life. They're angry about what's happened to them. They're angry about car dealerships. They're angry about their rent. They're angry at their landlord. They're angry at their ex-spouse or ex-spouses. They're angry at their kids. And they come in with you angry, and if you don't have a heart of being a servant, they're going to be angry at you too. And that's what I have to teach my team members from the beginning. They're not angry at you. They're angry at the situation. We need to listen, and a lot of times they just need that, and a lot of us can't empathize with where they're at because we've never been there, by the way. But right. We have to listen and have that sympathy and show them how to get where they want to be. Now, they have to take on that role at that point, right?
Yes.
We can't give it to them. They have to take it. If they don't take it, that's on them, but we've done our part.
Right.
And that makes me, you know, as excited as I get to see those customers actually take that and grow, it makes me equally as sad to see the folks who have that opportunity. And I know you guys have seen it, right, where you get that blessing from a lender.
Yes.
A gift is what we call it, right?
That's it is.
Gift and the buyer's asleep or whatever, and it's like, man, you just got a $20,000 car after two repos. This is your blessing, right?
Yeah.
And you know, we educate. We're like, look, make your payments on time. Try to keep the rest of your bills where they're at, man. You stay in this pocket and grow. And if you will, you know, you'll be better in 2 or 3 years. And then you get the cancellation letter from your, you know, from your lender that the car was repossessed, and yeah. you know, that you got to cancel the product and say, oh man, just guts you. So it gets me
right. No, it does me too. You know, I do finance at my store, so I'm the one who has to do all the cancellations.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, especially when you see the names and you know who they were.
Right, like, right. Wow,
that was, they're good people. What happened? You know, sometimes you wish they reached out to you. Maybe there was something you could have done. Because you, right. I do, because you do. You become, like you said, you really care about your clients. And when you start to sympathize for them, and like you said, not, we can't empathize with everything, but we could definitely sympathize with everything. And
well, yeah, look, when I was in college, and I really have lived several lives in my 49 years, and been in so many different places because I grew up poor, even though we had a business. And I've seen people that were poorer than we were, right? We had a roof. And my dad worked 3 and 4 jobs, even selling cars. He still worked 3 and 4 jobs, right? Just to pay the bills. And that's where my work ethic comes from, hands down, even though I don't have to work like that now. And my dad asked me, he said, you know, why do you work the way that you work? You don't have to spend time with your kids. You'll regret it later. And of course, my kids aren't kids anymore. I do regret it, right? They're 19 and, you know, 19 and 16. But that was, for better or worse, that was put into me by my father, the work ethic, because he was committed not to stay in that place that we were in, which was poor. And, you know, we would go to the grocery store with my mom, and she would go to the, I don't know if this is in every town, every city, but the grocery cart at the front that had the cans without the labels, the dented cans, right? Mm-hmm. And often they didn't have labels, but you knew it was soup,
mm-hmm.
or you knew it was a vegetable. That, they wrote it with a Sharpie at the discount grocery store. And, you know, she would open that. We would hope it was chicken noodle. And vegetable food, we're like, man, you know, but, you know, we ate what we had, but that's the way we live. But my dad was determined not to stay in that situation because he said, look, being poor is not permanent unless you choose for it to be permanent.
Right.
And it's funny because when I went to college and I got the job selling cars, I was making a ton of money. You know, before that, if you want to rewind just a little bit, I mean, I was homeless for 2 months before I accepted that job. You know, I refused to ask my parents for help. It was more from being stubborn than anything, right? Because I said, I'm not going to ask them for anything because they didn't want me to come here to begin with. This isn't on them. I'm going to do this myself. So it's funny how that stuff comes full circle and makes us who we are, you know? So I can't empathize with a lot of our customers. And I know that a lot of them, if they'll put the work in and keep their mind right, that they can overcome all of that. That's not the case for everyone, and we know those customers as well, but there's so many that can and choose not to. It's really sad.
And sometimes they don't have the direction to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't, right. We don't have a process in place that helps to make sure that we do give way for that honest conversation where they get the chance to be deposited into the direction that they need to go in order to get where they're going. And yep. we get so caught up thinking that they understand our jargon and our metrics and our goals, right? They don't care about any of that, right? The problem, the reason why a lot of times they're so mad is that most people have conveyed to them that they don't care about their problem, right? So they're mad. So they're upset and they don't want to go to the next level or trust anybody. And that's how life is, right? That's how we can get these calluses where we don't want anybody to help us just because everybody looked at our situation and said, you're beyond help. And sometimes we looked at our situation and said, no, I'm not going to accept help, right? I'll be homeless before I accept help from somebody else if I can't figure this out on my own. And sometimes we find ourselves inside of that spot. What's important is that we do have the humility to be able to sit there and say, okay, I need help. Help me to be better and let me point you in the right direction. And the biggest thing that we run inside of this crazy fast-paced business is stopping long enough to let them tell us what it's going to take for us to help them, where we're so pinpointed on going over our scripts, going over everything that we know, right? We want to make sure the customer knows everything that we know. You know, here's all the things I know. Here's the
list. Listen, I know everything.
Yeah. Buy from me because I know things. Yeah, that's cool. But you don't know what I just told you, sir. You don't know why I said that repo happened. I was trying to explain it to you and you didn't listen. Oh, yeah. But man, tell me again what happened. You know what I mean? That's one of the most embarrassing questions for me. I don't know about the rest of you car guys. Can you tell me your name again? You know what I mean? And all of those little details that you know they poured out for you to be able to pick up and utilize and to be able to let them know, hey, you're a human and I accept you and I'm pulling you in and I'm going to show you the right way. That's something that I believe that because again, we are ADD. Most great car guys are so boom, boom, boom. Whatever direction it is that something awesome is happening, I'm going to go to the awesomer thing, right? And that's how we are. And I know I'm definitely that
awesomer.
Way. But right, yeah, I'm throwing words. We make up our own words, right? Because we know things, right? Inside of this business. But it's so important that we do go with intention, but at heart, knowing why we're doing it at heart. You know why you want to help these people. So it helps you to focus and be intentional in, okay, so here's our process and here's the culture that we have to be able to help this person that's inside of a weakened buying state, right? We can help to give them the muscle, the rehabilitation to get them where they want to be. And at the same time, not pull the punches and know that you've spent enough time to leverage that time into depositing truth that might be a little scathing. That might be hey, you didn't need these credit cards. You don't say yes to everybody that says yes to you. Okay? You don't do that. And one great thing that we enjoy doing with our store is letting our people come back. Hey, you're about to get a whole lot of offers in the mail once you get 3 or 4 good payments underneath your belt. You know, once everybody sees that you got a new car and your new line of credit, so this credit card, this line of credit, all these things are going to come to your house. Most of that is garbage, but I can help you know what to do with it. And I've had some customers that would come through.
Yes.
Say, what do I do with this, 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 and this? And throw this out. Chuck this. This right here, this is 0% for this much time. This is what, you know, and then give them the tips on how to use it. You're approved for that. This is how you could leverage it because you're a 3-line 700 that's never really done anything, right? Let me show you how to really build that credit muscle. And I'm thankful that we do have that culture. You have that culture there. Literally a few of our guys taking those tips that they taught customers just how to buy cars. They saw them transform their whole life. They run credit repair agencies and help educate people on their credit, because that's the biggest thing. If the people aren't taught, they don't know.
You're not educated in high school, and they don't have like formal education for that. You have to go seek that.
Yes.
Most parents, they try to teach their kids, but they don't even know because they were never educated, right? Exactly. So it's just an endless cycle, and it keeps going and going. So when you're in the subprime business and you have passion, just like, you know, like Tracy does, here's a sad thing, folks, is that most people and most dealers across the nation do not care about subprime. They don't even dabble in it. If they do, it's a whole different department. They're treated like second class citizens. They get put on cars that don't match, that they don't want, they don't like. And I'm not saying that you always can put a person with subprime credit in the car they want, but you could put them in something reliable, nice, that has a warranty that could ride out for a while. So this way they could be happy to own for at least 3 to 4 years, right? Up to 6 years, depending on how long the loan is. But, you know, at least 3 to 4 years before their credit gets reestablished and they can come back. Buy something that's going to be at a better rate, maybe exactly what they want. But you have to educate them and explain why. A lot of problems is that people are like, oh, you can't buy that. You can only buy this. And they don't tell them why. They don't explain. They don't give them the picture of the future. You know, and that's it. You have to paint a picture for them. You have to show them, hey, let me show you this beautiful art that I could do for you. If you do this, this is what it's going to look like in the future for you. You know, it's going to be so much better. You got to make these payments on time. I'm going to help you. I could even set you up automatically, even biweekly if you want. I have companies that do that for you. You know, there's so many things that you can do to make the process better for them, easier for them. So in the future, that picture that you painted, it actually becomes. They can come back and see you, and then you change their life. As sad as it is to see, like Tracy talked about earlier, somebody and you get the repo letter saying you need to cancel their product, and you're like, man, that's horrible. What's even better, what's the best thing is the opposite. 3 years later, they come back, their credit's a 700 now or a high 6. They could buy whatever they want. They've been on their job for 3 more years now. They have more stability. They've been at their residence for 3 more years now. They have way more. Everything is a better picture to give to the bank. Now, all of a sudden, they go from a 20% rate down to like a 7% rate. Do you know the difference in that, folks?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Nobody tells them the difference in that 7%, that 29%. 29% in North Carolina is the max, right? Since we've been a full spectrum, and we don't have new car stores now, don't want a new car store, nothing against them. It's just not me, right? You're not an entrepreneur anymore. You're working for someone else. But we have been there. and going from buy here, pay here, and we have two buy here, pay here stores, we see those customers, and that's learned behavior for the most part from their parents, because the parents didn't know, just like you said, right? They weren't taught by their parents. So they are accustomed to disposable transportation, meaning the next tax check, they're going to get another car, right? Every year, disposable. Kick it.
I'm stealing that track from you. Disposable.
It's disposable transportation every tax time, right? And you see that on the, if they go to a buy here, pay here that reports, you'll see that on the credit bureau. 1 year, 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. What the heck? Well, you know, the radio stopped working. That's not why they gave the car back. They gave the car back because that's what they were taught. They were taught that every year when they get the tax check back, that's free money. So let's take that free money and get another car.
Yep.
So we need to re-educate them the right way. And they have to accept that. And the best is going from buy here, pay here, teaching them, moving up to special finance, subprime, teaching them. And then, man, then they get that credit union rate, you know, that 2.9, 3.9 over, you know, and it takes 8, 9, 10 years sometimes, but that's only three cars, right? In the cycle.
And they got to start at
10 years, man. And you see them come back. It's awesome.
Yeah. It is the best. And they thank you. Thank you for showing me this. Yeah. Thanks. You know, I appreciate that. And it's such a warm feeling, you know, and
I do know, Fred. And speaking of warm feelings, it's awesome being able to get back together. So since we can, do not miss this opportunity to be a part of the return of the Mastermind with your moderators, Tracy Myers and Troy Spring, the number one auto industry mastermind group. This is happening August 4th through 6th in sunny Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. You do not want to miss this. Make sure that you go to unfairadvantagemastermind.com. Get yourself set up. We are proud media partners of this event and can't wait to get together with you at the return of the Mastermind. Let's brew!